Turn me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter number 3. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about repentance. I get concerned about people repenting, that they would repent the right way. What I mean by that is, when it's true repentance, you're not gone within a week. You stay in the kingdom of God. I see so many people repent or put forth the actions of repentance, and they might last a service or two, then for whatever reason, amen, they drift away. A lot of that is they don't go deep enough in their repentance. They don't really get all those things out of their life that's truly a hindrance to them. Now we're going to read about repentance tonight, and we're going to read about a repentance that was acceptable to John the Baptist. Chapter 3 of Matthew, beginning. In those days, days of darkness, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." In our text, we have the entrance of John the Baptist. Now we have to keep in our mind and remember that the voice of God had not been heard for at least 400 years. The voice of prophecy since Malachi had ceased or been silent. But in John, the voice of God once again was heard throughout all Judea. The very first says that John appeared in the wilderness of Judea. John was a special messenger sent from God, and he tells you why: to prepare the way of the Lord. The book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5 says, Malachi 4 and 5 says, "Behold, I'll send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." He is a fulfillment of that prophecy. We turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. We'll pick up a couple of verses there. Matthew 11, verse 13. Speaking of John, it says this: For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. The law and the prophets was the voice of God under the old dispensation. But now the gospel was sounding out, amen, through John. He had the same spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was just like John. What do you mean? He just appears. He just appears in the scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew, the third chapter again. Verse 1. Let's read that again. Just a few verses there. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, what for? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He didn't get his calling from a school of theology, but rather he was God called. Amen. When John came, the voice of God once more rang out through the wilderness of Judea. John fearlessly denounced sin. He denounced evil wherever he would see it or wherever he would find it. His message came from God. The religions of that day, the Sadducees and Pharisees and the Pharisees, were in wrong. If they were involved in wrong, then John didn't hesitate to let them know. In John, the prophetic voice of God once again began to ring out. He was a light in a dark place. And as a wind was swept the voice of God throughout the whole country of Judea. John came as a voice of God. We have to keep in mind, people sat in darkness. They hadn't heard the voice of God for over 400 years. And it wasn't John's appearance that drew the people. Matthew 3 and 4 says his raiment was of camel's hair. Amen. A sort of coarse or rough covering, which was common at that time for the prophets. And you know that such garment, amen, just like John was clothed, Elijah was clothed. Let's go back and pick up Elijah. Turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter number 1, verse number 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in the upper chamber that was in Samaria. And he was sick. And he sent messengers unto them, go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I should recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And that was the message, and Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? They said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a god in Israel, thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto him, what manner man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And he answered, he was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. John had been prophesied under the name of the prophet Elijah. He possessed the same spirit as Elijah and qualifications. He took the same habits and lived in the same state of self-denial. And I don't want to come to Christianity one shot away from judgment, but it's still a necessary part of the gospel. One writer has said this: he who has never offended anyone never did anyone any good. Turn back to the prophecy to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse number 6, very familiar scripture, Isaiah 9 and 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with what? With judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, John came from God. He didn't summon people to the temple, but rather his pulpit was in the wilderness or in the desert. Just like we start reading about Elijah, we also start reading about John. He not only denounced sin and told people they're wrong, but he also told them what they should do. He was a voice in the wilderness, a voice of a like a crier, amen, going through the city. He quickly put out a call for men to come to righteousness. The first words that were mentioned of John's message was what? Repent. He brought men back to the moral standard of God. John didn't come into the wilderness as a little boy, but rather a full-grown man with a message of deliverance. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees, Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Fruits of repentance. Bring forth evidence that there's been a change in your life. Who is he speaking to? Verse 7 again. When he saw all many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There were three main sects of the Jews that they were divided into. They were divided into the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. And out of these were smaller sects. Some sects smaller, amen, they were less heard of. You don't read about them. They had the Herodians. You had the Galileans. You had the Therapeutes. But John said, bring forth fruit that lines up with repentance. You know, we're told, we're constantly being told, you can't judge. Then what did Jesus mean when he said you can tell them by their fruit? See, if you can't judge some things in life, if you couldn't judge some things in life, how would you even get along if you couldn't judge some things? Where Jesus really comes down is when you judge your brother. But you should be able to tell people by their fruits. John went on and called them a generation of vipers. Now, a viper, we know, is a poisonous snake. And you know their venom, once that venom is injected, is deadly. And that's what came from the Sadducees, amen, and the Pharisees. Deadly poison that would kill the souls of man. What was John saying? He's saying if a fire broke out in a desert place, all the animals would flee. Amen. But we have a picture of a fire breaking out in the wilderness. Amen. Through the gospel and religious groups fleeing from the wrath to come. They fled from the wrath, but still lacked the fruits of repentance. John let them know in verse 9 that it would do no good to bring up or plead Abraham as their father. You know, whenever they would get in trouble, they'd either bring up Moses or Abraham. He said this was a generation of vipers. And they were, because they were descendants of Abraham, didn't change that one bit. John was rebuking the haughty spirit that the Jews manifested. A degenerate age cannot claim goodness from ones in the past who live close to God. A family cannot claim goodness because of a saintly father or mother. All have to bring forth fruit of repentance. My children are not saved because I'm saved. Amen. My children are no different than anybody else's children. Amen. They have to have their own experience with God. All have to bring forth fruits of repentance. What is some of the fruits of repentance? The haughty spirit will be gone. Right. Amen. In place of it will be a humble, thankful spirit. And we saw that witness right at the start of this service with Brother Jay. The haughtiness or whatever, amen, involved Jay's life is gone. Now what do you see? A humble, working spirit. We don't come to Christ with an attitude that we have repentance coming to us. But rather, we deserve the wrath of God. John could see no change. He could discern no difference. Amen, in their spirit. What else accompanies repentance? They're ready to follow. They're ready to follow. They're ready for marching orders. Amen. Follow what? Well, turn with me to John, the 10th chapter, verse number 4, the words of Jesus. John, the 10th chapter, St. John, verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee. Amen. Will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Going to Revelation, the 14th chapter. Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse number 4. Speaking of the first fruits of those who took a stand out of false religion, it said they were they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. How did John know they had brought forth fruit showing repentance? Well, John, number one, had discernment. And God actually showed him what they were thinking. Going back to Abraham, they were still standing on the fact that they were Abraham's seed. John wouldn't baptize if there wasn't fruit. And I say that's sure a lot different than a lot of sectarian churches. They feel that water baptism makes one bring forth fruit. But they got it backwards from what John taught. He said the fruit was to come first. Water baptism is not repentance. But it's for those who have repented. Also, those who have repented will be easily entreated. Turn me to James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What is James talking about? Well, in the two verses before this, James describes another type of wisdom. He said it was earthly, sensual, and devilish. He said this wisdom was bitter and arrogant, very different from real wisdom. Amen. The one wisdom is earthly. Its standard and its sources, amen, are earthly. It measures success, amen, in worldly terms, and its aims are for worldly aims. It is characteristic of the natural man. Well, James is saying this, amen, that's the wrong kind of wisdom. That's almost like an animal type wisdom. Amen, the kind of, amen, like of an animal that snap and snarl with each other. Amen. That's not the wisdom we're to have. We're to have the wisdom which comes from above. Amen. Amen. We don't want the wisdom that doesn't come from God. Amen. The wisdom that, amen, doesn't come from God, that is earthly, causes arguments, fight, fussing, and falling out with one another. But we want the wisdom that comes from God. Amen. Easily to be entreated. Easy to talk to. Amen. James describes this arrogant and bitter wisdom and its effect. He said the thing that stands out, amen, when the wisdom is earthly, causes disorder and it causes confusion. It doesn't bring people together, but drives them apart. And instead of producing peace, it produces strife between brethren. There is a kind of person who is undoubtedly clever. Maybe they got a good brain about them, skillful tongue. But his results, nevertheless, wherever he's at, he causes trouble. Amen. And he disturbs friendships and personal relationships. The wisdom he does, amen, that he possesses, the Bible lets us know, is devilish rather than divine. Another fruit that lines up with repentance is a desire to straighten out anything one possibly can that had to do with his or her past life. Relationships, they might have severed. Relationships, he or she might have severed. Relationships, never repaired. Family feuds, family relationships, friendships that need restored when possible. Also, they'll restore what they had taken wrongfully. Otherwise, that which was stolen. Ezekiel 33, verse 15. You don't hear this preached on a lot, but it used to be, needs to be. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he had committed shall be mentioned unto him. he hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Every one of us know the story of Zacchaeus. There's a song of Zacchaeus, a wee little man. We know he's a little stature, and we know he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to get a glimpse of the Lord. Well, Luke records this. In Luke, the 19th chapter, he records it. In verse number 5, Luke penned these words. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, said unto them, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. But we also know that when Zacchaeus did come down, he came down a changed man. The 8th verse says this, in Luke the 19th chapter, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Who bought that up? If Jesus did, it's not recorded. Who brought it up? His conscience. His conscience was now coming back to the right way. Conscience will be true to your soul. Christians don't walk away from their debts. God help Church of God people. They don't leave a place in shambles when they move. If they move out of a place, they don't leave it wrecked. Amen. They make their payments. If somebody's good enough to loan you, amen, buying a car or a truck or a house, amen, you know you're obligated when you sign that paper. And if you don't make payments, when you can make payments, you're lying. You lied to them. You told them you'd make the payments. You tell them almost anything to get the loan. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm prompt. But then when you turn around and walk away from it, amen. Let me tell you, you're no different than the world. Christians pay their debts. Zacchaeus. This is before the Holy Spirit came. Zacchaeus wanted to correct his wrong as quick as possible. Who brought it up to Zacchaeus? Who told him that he defrauded anybody? We know the taxpayers back here in that day, if you'd study it, they did defraud people. We know they did overcharge. But Jesus didn't say, now Zacchaeus, wait a minute. You're going to have to straighten out. Amen, all those people you overtaxed. Zacchaeus brought it up. When somebody is saved, they want to straighten out their past life as much as possible. We know there's some things you can't straighten out. But those things that God reveals to you, you need to make it right. Straighten it out. I told you of a couple that I had to take care of. One was a bar bill in upstate New York. I've told you this before, maybe a few times. I run a bar tab. I knew exactly where the place was at, and I know the woman that was, an older woman that run the place. So she come to my mind one day. What are you going to do about the bar tab? Well, I didn't feel like driving up to New York to pay a small bar tab, so I wrote her a letter. Got her address, wrote her a letter, and told her what had happened, and I wanted to send the money and make that right, if she would just tell me what it was. She wrote back a letter telling me she's glad I was saved. Amen, and I didn't know a thing. But nevertheless, I wanted to put forth the effort to clear it up. Dear ones, that's a necessity when God shows you. See, you never go forward till you clean up what you did backward. There are some things it's impossible to straighten out. God knows that. God knows that there's things that you cannot go back and make it right. It's an impossibility. You didn't even know what happened. You didn't know anything about it. But those things that you can straighten out, those things that be a witness, amen. God wants you to clear it up. Too many Christians have tarnished the name of the church by things that they've left unpaid. Don't ever plan on being used of God or whatever capacity if you've got past debts hanging somewhere that you need to straighten out. God's not going to move you forward. You're going to be stalemated until that's taken care of. God's people, when they're God's people, have the best credit. Amen. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. Isn't that amazing when you preach on something like that, it gets real quiet? I'm not preaching to the Presbyterian. I'm supposed to be preaching to the apex of God's creation, the church. You mean to tell me we got a bunch of people with bad debts? I hope not. Matthew 3rd chapter verse 10 says this. Also the axe was laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree individually which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. He mentions trees dealing with Israel. And then he goes on there and mentions tree individually. God laid the axe, or the word of God, at Israel. He laid it at, as a nation. And also the axe is laid to the heart of each and every individual. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, he said, is hewn down, cast into the fire. John said, bring forth fruits. Show that you've repented. Bring forth evidence that you're right with God. Show what repentance has done for you. John would not baptize some of those Sadducees and Pharisees. But rather, when they came to him, they no doubt expected compassion. But he called them a generation of vipers. Why? There's nothing that ever changed in their lifestyle up to that point. And there's one thing about water baptism. If you go in there wet as a sinner, you're going to come up. Or come on, if you go in there as a sinner, you're just going to come up a wet sinner. It's not going to change you. Bring forth fruit of repentance. Show that there's been a change in your life. Show that God, your heart is set on serving God. And true repentance, or fruit of repentance, is you stick around. Amen. You stay with the church once you've repented. You don't hit an altar one week, gone the next week. Amen. Amen. You don't come hit an altar, and it feels good to come to an altar. Naturally, it feels good. Well, I was down in Haiti preaching the same way as in Kenya. But down in Haiti, they would line up probably three deep at the altar. Well, some of the people that came to the altar because it felt good. It felt good to go up there and repent or go up there and confess. Some of them were in Roman Catholicism, and they were used to doing that. There were just very few of that whole crowd that really was going to stick around, amen, and work in the kingdom of God. I know you feel good when you go to repent and go to an altar. It makes anybody feel good. But we got to get beyond that. We got to get to the place that when we repent for eternity. We repent, amen, to spend the rest of our life serving God. And what happens? You're going to show that you've repented. Amen. When people look at you, they're going to be saying, that's a different man. Just like I'm sure they did with Zacchaeus. No doubt they turned away at first when they saw Zacchaeus. They thought, here comes that old tax collector. But I presume by the change in his life, amen, especially when he come up to him and say, hey, I taxed you too much. Here's some money back. He brought forth fruit, meat for repentance.